So much then for the second principal object of our gratitude, our teachers. We come now to the third and last, that is to say, to our spiritual friends. But before I go on to speak about them, I want to make a general point. I've spoken of three principal objects of our gratitude, but we should not think that they're completely separate and distinct one from another. They're not mutually exclusive. There's a certain amount of overlap between the first and second, and between the second and third. Our parents are also our teachers to an extent. In Buddhist tradition, parents are called Puranacharyas, which means ancient or former teachers, because they're the first teachers that we have, even if they only teach us to speak a few words. And consequently, we're grateful to our parents not only for giving us life, but also for giving us at least the rudiments of knowledge, for initiating us into at least the beginnings of our basic cultural heritage. Similarly, there is a certain amount of overlap between teachers and spiritual friends. The very greatest poets, artists, and composers can help us rise to spiritual heights. They can inspire us with spiritual values. In the course of the last few hundred years, great changes have taken place, at least in the West. Previously, Christianity, as represented by the church or churches, was the great bearer of spiritual values, even the sole bearer of such values. But many people have lost faith in Christianity, lost faith in the church or churches, and they look elsewhere for their spiritual values. And many find those values in great works of art. They find them in the plays of Shakespeare. They find them in the poetry of Wordsworth, Baudelaire, and Rilke. Find them in the music of Bach, Beethoven, and Mozart. Find them in the great painters and sculptors of the Italian Renaissance. Thus, these great masters become, as it were, our spiritual friends, especially if we remain in contact with them and with their works over a period of many years. We learn to admire them, to love them. We feel intensely grateful to them for what they have given us. They are among our spiritual friends in the broader sense. But now let us come to spiritual friends proper, as we may say, the third principal object of our gratitude, spiritual friends. So here too, as in the case of the word gratitude, we have to go back to the Sanskrit word behind the English equivalent. The Sanskrit word, or words, is Kalyana Mitra. So when I speak of spiritual friends, I mean Kalyana Mitras. Mitra comes from the word Maitri, or Metta in Pali. And Maitri means a strong, unselfish, active love. And it is sharply distinguished in Buddhist tradition from prema, the Pali pema, in the sense of sexual love or attachment. A mitra or friend in this sense therefore means one who feels a strong, unselfish, active love towards one. But what does Kalyana mean? Firstly, Kalyana means beautiful, charming. And secondly, it means auspicious, helpful, morally good. Thus, Kalyana Mitra has a much richer connotation than the English spiritual friend. So who are our spiritual friends in the sense of Kalyana Mitras? They are all those who are more spiritually experienced, even spiritually more advanced, very much more advanced than we are. The Buddhas, of course, are our spiritual friends, especially Shakyamuni Buddha, who discovered and taught the Dharma in this eon. The Arahants and the Bodhisattvas are our spiritual friends. The great Buddhist teachers of India and China, of Tibet and Japan, are our spiritual friends. The figures on the refuge tree are our spiritual friends. Those who teach us meditation are our spiritual friends. Those with whom we study the scriptures are our spiritual friends. Those who ordain us are our spiritual friends. And all these spiritual friends should be the objects of our intense, heartfelt gratitude. We should be even more grateful to them than we are to our parents, more grateful to them than we are to our teachers. Why? It's because from our spiritual friends that we receive the Dharma. We've not discovered the Dharma. We've not invented the Dharma. We've received it as a free gift. We've received it from our spiritual friends, from the Buddha downwards. In the Dhammapada, the Buddha says, the greatest of all gifts is the gift of the Dharma. And the greater the gift, the greater the gratitude that we should feel. Should not only feel that gratitude, not only feel it in our hearts, should give expression to it in words and deeds. And how do we do this? We give expression to it in three ways. By singing the praises of our spiritual friends, by practicing the Dharma they have given us, and by passing on that Dharma to others to the best of our ability. The greatest of our spiritual friends is, of course, the Buddha Shakyamuni, or Gautama Buddha, who, as I've said, discovered or rediscovered the path that we, as Buddhists, follow today. It's to him that we go for refuge. It's to the Dharma taught by him that we try to practice. And it's with the support of the Sangha or community founded with him that we enjoy as we try to practice the Dharma. And we are therefore intensely grateful to him. More grateful to him in principle than to anyone else. Our parents have indeed given us life, but what is life, we may say, without the gift of the Dharma? Our teachers have given us knowledge, education and culture, but what are these things even without the Dharma? So we are intensely grateful to the Buddha. That is why we worship the Buddha. That is why we perform the sevenfold puja. And that is why we're celebrating Vesak, the anniversary of the Buddha's enlightenment, today and in fact this whole week.